Today I want to talk to you about trust, but not just trust. I want to talk to you about different kinds of trust. So if you have your Bible, turn to Psalms 37, and then our coordinating scripture is going to be Matthew 14. Psalms 37, Matthew 14. When you find your place, just say, I have it. In studying this word trust, I want to break this word trust down into two categories. And I believe in life we have to break it down into two categories, but I don't think we always do that as Christians. So I'll ask you first of all, how many people here today will say and verbally say, I trust God? If you can verbally say, I trust God, then I want you to say it right now. So a lot of you do trust God, right? And we say that. We say we trust God. So understandably, that's an easy phrase for us to say, and it sounds like the right thing to say, and we're even geared from young people to say, I trust God. But in studying this and thinking about this, and you know, we always try to take a word and dive deep inside of it, I see that there's a problem with us. Here's the problem, and I say us, I'm talking about me and you, is that it seems we're good on the initial trust. But where we have problems is the conditional trust. So I've broken trust down into two categories, initial trust and conditional trust. And if I look back on my life and the times that I've failed, the times that I've spent my life anxious, nervous, fretting, worrying, full of anxiety, I always can go back and say there was a time where I can say I initially trusted God and initially I trust God. But on those times, I can't say that I conditionally trusted God. So for your pastor to stand in front of you today and basically say to you, listen, I've had trust issues with God. Well, maybe you might want to get a new pastor. Unless you're all honest yourself and admit the same thing, you've had trust issues with God. How many of you have had trust issues with God? We may not have initial trust issues with God, but we have conditional trust issues with God. And here's how we know it. If you've never had a conditional trust issue of God, then you are the person here today that can say, I never worried. I never have been anxious or fearful. You see, because if we trust Him the way He says trust Him, we are in that picture holding His hand, knowing that we're walking in His will and that He is directing every step we take. Do you know that? So now, how many of us have had trust issues with God? It's just hard to say, isn't it? I don't mind saying I've had trust issues with somebody else, but it seems like a bad thing to say about myself. I've had trust issues with God, but let's face it, okay? This week and last week, I've had the opportunity to talk to a lot of people. People that were going through different conditions in life, different situations in life. I've talked to some that are 16. Talked to some that are 22. I've talked to some that are 28, 29, 34, 38, 54, 66. And all those people were facing different situations, but they all had one directional problem. What am I going to do if this happens? They were anxious. They were worrying. They were fearful. And every one of them professed the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. So today, as we begin to look in Psalms 37, I want us to be able to read a psalm written by a man after God's own heart. His name is David. You know David from the Bible. I like David because David loved the Lord, but David also messed up. I can relate to messing up. Can you? I can relate to loving the Lord, and I can relate to messing up. But David wrote this psalm, and basically this psalm is a poem. A psalm is a song. This is a poem, a wisdom poem. It's written by David, but it's not written by the young David that had the sling killing the giant. It's written by old David. It's written by an aged David. You know why this psalm is so special? It desires our attention. You know, as Mr. Earnhardt spoke this morning, and Mr. Earnhardt, I'm not calling you old. You're 84 years old, right? That's why we say 84 years old, right? He's lived a lot longer than I've lived. He's seen a lot more than I've seen. Do you know, I found it out that when I was young, I didn't listen as good because I thought I knew everything. The older I get, I love to listen to people who have lived longer than me. Wisdom comes from people who have seen things that you haven't seen. I would encourage all of you to give ear. Make sure that you listen to them. Here's something better. You want to be blessed this week sometime? You don't have to look too far. Go to any of these nursing homes around here. There's somebody that would love your visit. Pull up a chair and just begin to talk to them. I'll guarantee you, you'll be blessed this week. They'll love your company, but they've seen things you haven't. Take time to listen to what they have to say. David wrote this as an aging David. Listen to his words of wisdom. Psalms 37. I want to read to you the first 7 verses. We'll see the instruction given to us. If you're ready, say, I'm ready. Listen to the first 2 words. Fret not thyself. What does that mean? Don't worry. Don't be anxious. Don't fret. Fret's a word we used to use. It might not be a common word used now, but fret means don't get all in a tizzy. Oh, tizzy might be an old word we used to use too, right? Don't let it bother you so much that you're losing sleep. Don't let it bother you so much that you can't be who you are. You never have a smile on your face. Your disposition is terrible, that you're worried, that you're anxious. Don't fret. Fret not thyself because of evildoers. Neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Listen to verse 3. Trust. Say that word with me.
Trust.
Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. You see, the verse 3 started with a word, trust. Say that with me.
Trust.
Verse 4 started with a word called delight. Say that word with me. So we have trust and delight. The next command, he says, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. So he says, after we trust, when we delight, then we should commit. Say, commit with me. The next thing he says in verse 7 is rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret no more, or fret not thyself because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. So he says, trust, delight, commit. Then he says, rest in the Lord. So trust, say it with me.
Trust.
Delight. Commit.
Commit.
And rest.
Rest.
These key words were all commanded after he said, fret not. How many of you would love to go through life fretting not? Did you see the difference in Jamie when he did the first little obstacle course on his own logic, as smart a guy as he is? Jamie, it was no peace in that, right? Anxious, nervous, always you were going to step off of something and harm yourself. The second time, it was a confident walk. It was a peaceful walk. He gives us these 4 things: trust in the Lord, delight thyself in the Lord, commit thy way unto the Lord, rest in the Lord, and wait patiently. Basically, when he says trust in the Lord, he means trust in God's power and God's plan. When he says delight thyself in the Lord, he's saying enjoy the companionship of the Lord. When you delight yourself in the company of someone, that means that you really enjoy being around them, right? You've been around people you didn't enjoy. Was that a delight? No. When you delight yourself in the Lord, you're enjoying his companion. Number 3, he says, commit. When you commit your way into the Lord, you're basically saying you're going to let God have control over your way. That means not getting our own way. How many people want their own way? Everybody should raise their hand. We all want our own way. You know how hard it is to give up our way for God's way? He's saying commit, which also means submit. Number 4, rest in the Lord and wait patiently. This rest doesn't mean go take a nap. Listen, this rest means stay where you're at. Now, a lot of us can say we've done this, we've trusted, we've delighted, we've committed at some point in time, but we're not there right now. Guess what? We didn't do the last one. We didn't rest in the Lord. We didn't stay and wait on the Lord, because when something happened, well, we drifted away from Him. I think that's very good advice that David's given us. If we trust in God's ability instead of our own ability, He will provide for us. How many people know that?
Amen.
If we delight in the Lord and enjoy His companionship, He will give us the desires of our heart. Did you hear that? Here's a promise out of God's Word. It says He will give us the desire of our heart if we delight in Him. That means if we stay around Him. How do we stay around Him? Well, we start with prayer. That's something we can do anywhere. We follow that up with worship. We come in here and we worship, and every opportunity we get to worship, we take it. So we're delighting in being able to be in the presence of God. When we have our time of study, when we're reading our Bible or we're listening to some preaching somewhere or something, we're delighting in the Lord. He says if you do that, He'll give you the desires of your heart. What does that mean, preacher? Well, you know, sometimes we feel guilty to pray for something. We just think, well, hey, I've heard people say, I just pray for my needs. I just pray for my needs. Listen, do you know that God wants to give you some of your wants? He's the best father in the world, and I'm a father. I can relate to this. You know I'm supposed to give my kids their needs, but do you know that sometimes when they please me, I'll say this, what do you want? It just makes me feel good, right? And it makes them love on me, and that's what God wants. He says, delight in me, and I'll give you the desires of your heart. Something you're praying for, He wants to give it to you. Now, He won't give it to you if it's not going to be good for you, whether you understand it or not, but some of those things He just wants to give to you. And when we say, if we commit our way to God, if we commit our way to God, do you know what? He will bring to pass His perfect will for us. God has a perfect will for us. If we rest in God, that means if we stay with God, if we choose not to follow the same ways of someone that's not following God, then we will see that we will, as it says here, prosper. And be clear, I'm not preaching a prosperity gospel here this morning. I'm preaching a relationship with the Lord, trusting in the Lord, committing to the Lord, delighting to the Lord, and staying with the Lord. I'm preaching a gospel that says God has you. You don't have to worry if you can follow by this little guideline He's given us. It's good advice, because who doesn't want to be provided for? All of us want to be provided for, right? Who doesn't want to have the desire of their heart be given the desire of their heart? All of us want that, right? Who doesn't want to be in God's will and prosper? Well, I think we all want to be in God's will and prosper. So, hey, here it is. We all want this, but somewhere in the middle of our journey, we see that we have a choice to trust God's way or our way. So many times we take our eyes off of God and we react to the condition that's in front of us. We react. You know how we react? We react with our plan. We react with nervousness. We react with anxiousness. But we don't react in the way that He told us to. We don't react with trust. Now listen, conditions are going to happen. Situations are going to happen. Every day that you have is not going to be a perfect day. It's not going to be a day of just lilies and roses. You're going to have some days, right? But He's saying, through those days, trust me. Through those conditions, trust me. So basically, David is urging us not to react to our situation, but instead to trust in God. Now, when we say trust in God, all of a sudden, we turn on our religious filter here. It's like this overwhelming statement that you've heard so many times, trust in God, trust in God. And we've all said, yes, we trust in God. But to trust in someone is to have confidence in that person and accept that what they say is true. To trust in someone is to know that that person will never do anything to harm us, and that they will do everything to help us prosper. Wouldn't you say, if you trust someone, you know that about them? These children were quick to point out the people in their life they trust. Do you realize it's the people that they know are taking care of them? You see, there's no way that any of us can have a relationship with God unless we first trust that God is who He says He is and that what God says is true. If you don't trust that, do you realize that we can't even have initial trust? So I want to talk about initial trust first. Understand that we can't truly believe in God until we first trust God. Once we trust Him, then our faith is established. In order for a person to be saved or to be born again, to be able to claim that Jesus Christ is my Savior, we have to come into a relationship with God and we have to first trust Him. There is no way that we can call ourselves a Christian or say, oh, we believe in God and we're in a relationship with God, if first we haven't trusted that God is who He says He is. And that our way to get to God is how God says it is. Let me stop a minute and be able to tell you what we have to trust. Here's what God's Word tells us. God's Word tells us, first of all, that He is without sin. He's holy. Do you believe that? But His Word also tells us we have a problem. We're not holy. The Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. I'm one of that none. You're one of that none. It tells us, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I'm part of that all. You're part of that all. So I'm separated from God because I've got a sin problem. I was born with a sin problem. And that separates me from God because I'm not righteous. He is righteous. But God wanted my fellowship, so He sent His Son, Jesus. And His Word tells us that God loved us so much, He gave His only begotten Son to be crucified, to be beaten, to be mocked, to be spit upon, to be purged, and to be killed, so that you and I could bridge the gap of our sin and come to God by using His blood to cover our sin. We have to believe that. How are you going to believe something that you don't trust? Did any of you see Jesus be crucified? No. You have to believe in something. You have to trust that what God says is true. You have to trust that that's going to give you eternal security in heaven. Because if you don't trust that, you can never believe it, right? You can truly never be saved if you don't trust it. So coming to God and accepting Jesus as your Savior, that is initial trust. The first step of trust. If you've done that, say amen.
Amen.
Glory to God. Now, listen to the end of this psalm. Psalm 37, you'll see that David is trying to explain to us that God has every one of our lives planned out in the way that will, number one, bring glory to Him and bring satisfaction to us. Do you know that God wants to bring us satisfaction? Mick Jagger said we couldn't get any. God says we can get all we want, right? Listen to what He says here. This is Psalms 37, verse 23 through 25. Remember, this is old David writing this. I love it. He said, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young, and now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread." This is a man that's seen some things. This is David. He was able to give this kind of testimony, this kind of advice. He begins by saying the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord and he delighteth in his way. Basically what he's saying in verse 23 is the righteous person, the person that is trusting God, the person that is trying to be obedient to God can rest assured knowing that no matter what challenge they face, no matter what dilemma they may encounter, no matter what is going on around them, God is ordering our steps and God is in control and he will carry you through it. He will put you in a place where you will be able to overcome anything you think is bad and ultimately prosper instead of fail. God has never said and can never say, "Uh-oh, I messed up." But how many times have we thought that? Our steps are ordered by the Lord. I love the way David puts that. You know what that means? He's trying to give you the vision of God saying, "Okay, step here, step here, step here, and step here." Let's say that I come to the age of accountability and I realize I have to make a choice and accept the Lord Jesus as my Savior. And let's say I'm 11 or 12 years old. And that's when it happened for me, and I accepted him. Do you know that through my high school and my teenage years, God said, you need to step right here. And then he directed my next step after that. And let's say you're here and you've passed high school and you either have a career or you're in college somewhere. That's that next step. And then maybe you've passed that and you're trying to start a career, maybe start a family, or you have young children, and that's the next step. Maybe your children are not young anymore and they're growing up, and now you're in between, you're in transition. That's your next step. And now maybe your children are leaving your home, and that's your next step, and they've just pulled out of your driveway, and all this time you've thought, man, kids are so hard when they're little, and I don't know what I'm going to do because I've got three or four kids running around here, and I don't know what to do. It's always on my mind. And I want to tell you something. As the father of four, you don't have any problems. When those kids get old enough to leave your driveway, that's when you'll start thinking about it. When they're at home, when you have your hands on them and you can touch them, you can love on them. I don't care if they're sick. You can take care of them. Listen, that's fine. When they leave and you don't see them and you don't know where they're at and when they're coming home, that's when you start thinking about it. Right, parents? And maybe you're going through that step. Sorry, I stopped on that step. That's where I'm at. And then your kids grow up and you get, here's another step. And then you're a senior citizen. Here's another step. And then here you're facing something. You worry every time you go to the doctor. Hey, what's he going to say? There's another step. Do you know that God's ordering every one of those steps? He orders the steps you walk through. He orders the steps of your jobs. He orders the people you meet. He orders the relationships you're in. God's ordering your step. If you've taken that initial step of trust, understand God has your hand walking you through that. Every phase you go through will impact something he wants you to impact. Whether you put it in the bad category or the good category. Glory to God. In verse 24, he reaffirms, he says basically, in verse 24 of Psalms 37, he says, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. You know what he's saying? Let me translate this. He's not saying, in essence of fall, it's translated, though he stumble, he will not ultimately fall. Now listen, there is nowhere in the Bible that God will tell you that you will not stumble in life, because there are hurdles and there are pitfalls in life, right? The road's rocky. But you know what he says? He says, you might stumble, you will not fall. He will keep us from falling. Do you know how? He'll uphold us with his hand. Amen. You remember the picture, me and Jamie, right? That means that God sees us get to a point. I'm trusting him. I got up this morning. I said, God, I don't know what's going to happen with this situation, but I'm going to trust in you. And here's a bump in the road. Here's a phone call that the doctor's giving me. Here's something they told me at work. Here's something that the person I love is saying. Here's what's going to happen. I feel like I'm going to fall. And God says, I've got you. Come on. I'm going to lead you through it. You're going to see. Just trust. Rest in me. See, it doesn't say those things aren't going to happen. He just says, you're not going to wipe out. Verse 25, David declares in his old age, he says, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Do you realize the steps that God orders for us will never cause us to fail? He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. No matter what we are going through, he will always take care of us if we trust in him and his way. I have never seen the righteous forsaken. David has seen a lot of people. He's saying, and the way this passage of Scripture, it divides people, is between righteous, unrighteous, good, wicked, right? The person that has initial trust is put in a righteous category. Even though we know we're not righteous, and we learned that a minute ago, there's none righteous, no, not one. The blood of Jesus, the belief in God, when we own that, there's the righteousness of God comes in us. We're saved by the righteousness of Jesus Christ. As Mr. Earnhardt said this morning, I want to thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're saved by the righteousness of Jesus. We can't do it on our own. So, understand this. David made this proclamation. I've never seen the righteous forsaken. That means the righteous never went falling and falling without God handing his hand down. I've never seen his seed begging bread. God's children are not going to go without. Now, something interesting here. You see, I want us to look at the physical application of this passage of Scripture. I think it's really, really neat. The physical application of this truth of God's Word, and here's our truth. Trust me, God says, no matter what you think, trust me. No matter what the condition, trust me. So let's go to Matthew chapter 14. That's the second place we're going to turn. You see, we come to God by initial trust. Say initial trust. But do you know that sometime in your walk with God, after you establish initial trust, and you establish initial trust by accepting the Lord as your Savior, that's that first step. Sometime after that, you are going to be in a situation to where God will have you to prove your conditional trust. So we talked about initial trust. Now watch. You probably know this story. It's one of my favorite stories in the Bible. Jesus had just fed so many people with some fish and some bread. Thousands had gathered there, and he sent the disciples away because they had somewhere to go, and he put them in a boat or ship, and he sent them. They took off. Jesus went up in the mountain to pray, and as they got out on the rough sea, the wind got up. They were in a storm. The boat was tossed up and down. I'm not talking about smooth water. I'm talking about big waves. They were afraid. They were scared. Jesus saw them. So he goes walking towards them. When he goes walking towards them, he saw their fear. He saw their anxiety. He saw them fretting. We'll pick up on this story, and I want you to read with me verses 25 through 33. You've heard it before, but there's some things in it. It says, in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. That means what we would call really late at night or early in the morning, between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. I mean, they've been fighting this storm. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it's a spirit, and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. When Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. Immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and called him and said to him, O thou of little faith, wherefore did thou doubt? When they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. I want you to see a couple of things here. I believe that God was trying to play out Psalms 37 here. That's just my belief. You say, well, does it relate? Tell me what you think. Verse 27. Understand, these guys were scared. Have you ever been in a boat when the waves were bigger than the boat? You're scared. You're not scared of the wind that's causing the waves. You're scared of drowning. I mean, actually, the thing that you fear is not the wind. You fear the water that you drown in, right? I mean, if you're in a boat and you're thinking, hey, the wind's going to come and the waves, what are you thinking? It might knock me where? Out of the boat, where? In the water. The water is the enemy, because if I'm in the water, under the water, what happens? I die. They're scared. Here comes Jesus walking on the water. So what does that mean? Well, let's just think about it. The wind's making the waves. The waves toss to the boat. The thing that fear is generated for is that you're going to fall in the water and the water is going to eat us up. Jesus is walking above the problem. The problem's the water. You say, no, the problem is the wind. It's making the waves. No, the problem is the water. That's what you drowned in. You don't die of windburn. You don't want to go in the water. Jesus is walking on the water. And listen, I know you've seen it before, these little trick camera things where they've got something and you've got somebody walking across the water where they've got like a little board. Listen, show me the one where they're walking across the waves. I want to see it, okay? Jesus is walking across a stormy sea, right? Walking above the threat of danger. They were afraid. In verse 27, I love it. Jesus says, it is I, be not afraid. You know what that means? I'm here. Now, if I've promised you we had somewhere else to go, boys, he told his disciples, go across here. This is where I'm going to meet you. If Jesus said, I'm going to meet you somewhere, you can set your clock by. There was not going to be something that would keep you from meeting him. See, that's the faith they didn't have. That's the fear. What if we drowned? No, remember, Jesus said he was going to meet us over there, take this ship. He told us the ship. He put us on it. He told us where to meet him. That's where the thought should have stopped, right? Why? Because God was ordering their steps. Jesus himself was ordering their steps, right? So they were scared, and Jesus got there, and he said, it is I, be not afraid. Let me translate that to you. Fret not, trust me. Is that not Psalms 37? Hey, I'm here. What's the problem? Oh, the problem is we're going to drown. What, drown in this water I'm walking on top of? You see what I'm saying? You see, he's ordering the steps, and Peter, when Peter catches on, he asks Jesus to save him. He says, let me come to you. And here's what you're going to see. Peter has initial trust. Peter saw Jesus on the water. Peter said, if it's you, I believe in you. If you tell me I can come to you, I'll step out of this boat and walk on the water. Jesus said, come. He ordered Peter's steps out of the boat. Don't you know that a good steps, the Lord orders the steps of a good man? Peter stepped out of the boat. Peter had initial trust. This trust was beyond his logic. It was a display of faith. Peter walked on the water. Explain that, can you? We can't. Can't explain it. It's beyond our logic. It takes faith. You have to believe. You have to trust. And the words of Jesus said, come, and he trusted. So he stepped on the water, and he walked on the water. That's initial trust. Let me tell you something. If you're here today and you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, it's going to take initial trust to get out of the boat you're in and come to Jesus. It's going to take you believing that God is who he says he is, and Jesus is who God says he is, and you're going to have to believe in the only way to come to God. But in verse 30, we see that the trust that he had, well, the same thing happens to it that seems to happen to our trust. Sometimes the trust that we seem to have, that initial trust that we have for God, the biggest problem that we have that comes in our life, well, the biggest problem seems to overwhelm that initial trust sometimes for us. That trust that we seem to have, well, it's overshadowed by our fears and our worries and our anxiety. I can honestly say, I know that I trusted God when I accepted him, and you can honestly say it too, but conditions happen. And I think in our lives, I realize, and this is why I wanted to speak to you about this today, I think in Christians today, we're confident in our salvation. The biggest problem we have is our conditional trust. It's like God's trust. We trust him fine to say, we're going to heaven. But let a little condition come up where the waves in our life make a storm. The doctor tells us something, or work tells us something, or something happens in this relationship, or something happens with this person or that person. Something happens with our finances. When those waves come, even though we had initial trust, we do the same thing that Peter did. What happens? Peter saw the waves of life. He saw those waves and he thought, man, that's a big wave. That's a big wave. That wave is going to wipe me out. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? And I found a lot of people in that situation in the last couple of weeks. What am I going to do? That wave's going to come, and my logic tells me if it comes, it's going to happen to me, and everything's going to be ruined. Where did I quit looking? I quit looking at the one I had initial trust in that said, trust in me and I'll deliver you from it. Trust in me and take my hand. Trust in me and walk with me. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. And I looked at my problem and my conditional trust failed. You ever been there? Guess what happens? you begin to sink. It's no fun sinking because anxiety really ramps up. The worst moment that I have at night is right before I hit the ground in that dream that I have where I'm falling out of something. You ever have it? Right? And then right before I get there, I wake up and I think, okay, I'm safe. But when you wake up, your heart's beating because you were falling. When you're sinking in life and you see it getting this way and you've taken your eyes off of God, even Christians, that's when it ramps up. That's when anxiety and worry and nothing seems to work out. And you can't remember the last time you were smiling all day long. And look what happens. Peter saw the boisterous wind just like we see, and he began to sink. And in his desperation, that's what happens to us when we run out of our own solutions. When the wave is getting ready to eat us up and we're going under the water, Peter cried out, "Save me." Glory to God. Verse 32 or verse 31, Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said, "You're sinking. Not because you can't walk on water, but because you doubted. Why did you doubt, oh ye of little faith? As long as you trusted me, Peter, you were on the water, man. What happened?" You see, he took him back to the boat. The storm stopped. You think, well, how does this tie into Psalms 37? I refer back to verse 24. It says, "Though he fall, he shall not utterly be cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand." Don't you know David was saying the same thing? When Peter said, "Save me, save me," Jesus went, "Amen. Come on. Get back in the boat. It is I. I told you you were going to be okay. I told you to trust in me." How many of you have been Peter before? Maybe you're Peter now. Isn't that what happens so many times? We have that initial trust, but then we fail with our conditional trust, don't we? We must really think we're smart. I remember this passage of Scripture. It was one of the first ones I learned when I was a young man, and I wish I would have applied it because it would have applied to every situation. And I gave this to so many people this week as we talked. Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived, wrote in Proverbs chapter 3, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. Acknowledge him in all thy ways, and he will direct thy path." Amen. Listen, he's ordering our steps. He's directing our path. He's holding our hand. Why in the world are we worrying through this life? We should be trusting. We should be delighting. We should be committing. And we should be resting in him. Amen. Not fearing. My Savior walks above the water. There might be things that are over my head, but all those things are under his feet. Amen. Glory to God. God's telling us that if we trust in him initially by believing in him, then he will deliver us from any condition that we face if we are willing to have conditional trust. Listen, brothers and sisters that are listening today, whether you're here, whether you're listening on the radio, whether it's you're online and you're listening on the website, or whether you've got a CD plugged in and you're in your car, listen. Check your conditional trust. It was so easy for all of you when this service began to say, "I trust God." And we have initially. But how are we conditionally? Does that trust go away when the wave gets big? Don't fret. Don't doubt. He's ordering our steps, and He will never let us fall. Don't fret. Don't doubt. He's ordering our steps, and He will never let us fall. Don't fret, don't doubt. He's ordering our steps, and He will never let us fall. Don't fret, don't doubt. He's ordering our steps, and He will never let us fall. If I told you that I was in charge of that, you could fret, you could doubt, but I'm not the one that said it. God Almighty, who made the sun come up this morning, who will make the moon shine tonight, who will put every leaf on these trees as they start to bud in these next month and take every one of them off in the fall, who will make the grass green, will feed every bird that's flying around out there, that same God has told you, don't fret, don't doubt. I'm ordering your steps. If you trust me, you will never fall.
Amen.
That's somebody to believe. If you're here today, I would ask you this question. First of all, do you have initial trust that brings you to a relationship with God? You'll know it right now because the Holy Spirit is active in this room. You have to know beyond a shadow of a doubt. That means that you know 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 that if something happened to you today, you're going to be with God forever in heaven because you've accepted Jesus as your Savior. You believe it. You've repented of your sins. You know there was a time when you prayed, God, forgive me. I accept Jesus as my Savior. Not just believing there's a God somewhere, but you've owned it. That's initial trust to say, God, I believe who you said you were, and I believe how you said you were going to draw me to you through your son. That's believing that. That's accepting the Lord. That's initial trust. Today, you have a chance to start that if you've never started it. But for Christians all over this room and all those that are listening, I would ask you this question. Do you have conditional trust that keeps you from worrying and helps you overcome whatever condition you face? You say, now that I think about it, my conditional trust has been pretty weak. I've been gurgling water a lot. What happens? What do I do? You know what this sermon was? This sermon is the big hand of God reaching down in that water and saying, come on. Well, how do you get back in the boat? You get on your knees to God today and you say, hey, I've messed up. I'm sorry. I believe in your power over my power. You have a little talk with Jesus this morning. You ask him to give you strength to help you with your conditional trust. You tell him you believe in his word. You claim the blood of Jesus and salvation. You talk to him this morning. And you can leave here with a closer relationship with God. Why will it be closer? Because you've just climbed up in your daddy's arms and said, I trust you completely. You know what he's going to say? What do you want? Amen? Ain't that the way God does us? This invitation today, you might find yourself in one of those two spots. If you've never established that initial trust, I want to pray with you today. I'll be down here, and if you want to accept the Lord as your Savior, I'll be glad to pray with you. The simple prayer you're going to pray is a believing prayer that says, God, I believe who you say you are. I accept Jesus Christ as my Savior. That's my way. That's your way to get me to you. I believe he died for me and I'm a sinner. Forgive me of my sins. I believe in who you are and I accept Jesus as my Savior. I'll live for you, God, because I trust you. He'll save you today. You'll have no doubt in your mind that you're going to be with him. And if you've done that, then today check your conditional trust. Don't leave this building until you make it right with God and climb up in his lap and talk to him today. Amen. Stand with me, please. Father God, I love you. I praise you. I thank you for your word today. Your word is so clear. Lord, help us to trust you. You know that we're weak and our flesh battles against us. And God, I just pray that every person in this room today, Lord, you show us ourselves. Every person listening today, show us ourselves today, Lord. Let us see where we are with both realms of trust. Our initial trust and our conditional trust. God, if we're lacking in either one of those trusts, show us ourselves today. Lord, as we see ourselves, I just pray, God, today that you would hear the prayers of your children that are crawling up in your lap to ask you to help them in this area, Lord. We don't want to worry. We don't want to fret. We realize we're going to have troubles in this life, but God, we want to walk with confidence. We want to have the peace in knowing that we're holding your hand and you're directing our steps and you're ordering our steps. I pray, God, that lives are changed in this room today as people rededicate their life and their trust to you. In Jesus' name, amen.